We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Learfield, it's time for the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with more than 45 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Podcast. I'm Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Cats, joined by longtime color analyst Stan Weber as we get you set for what will be certainly a very interesting football game on Saturday. The Wildcats are on the road for the final time in 2017. And they go to Boone Pickens Stadium in Stillwater, Oklahoma, most difficult place to play against one of the nation's best offenses in the Cowboys. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to remind you, our program is brought to you by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. Also, let's talk briefly about the Wildcats' last outing at home against West Virginia Saturday. Stan, as I look back on it, I've used this term, and I think it really fits. That game for Kansas State was a big punch in the gut, wasn't it?
It was. And what really makes it ironic is it's the second punch in the gut that K-State has received playing a game against West Virginia. I think back to last season, it was a different point of the year, the first conference game on the road. But I thought losing a 13-point lead after West Virginia had only scored 3 points all the first three quarters was a bigger punch in the gut. Now, it's hard to say that because this is so fresh, but that's what, when I finally went back and thought about it, I said, this was not fun. Rainy day. I felt so bad for the fans for the third time this year at a home game, just bad weather and a tough situation for K-State to fight through. And here we are looking at another loss to West Virginia where you could point to so many different aspects. We can break this down right and left, all over the place, and any of the things go K-State's way and they get a victory, but they don't do the work at the beginning of the game when DJ Reed was going off and creating turnovers. They don't do it at the end of the game when K-State's driving down and trying to get into scoring position. So, oh, by the way, they don't do it right before the half. You know, it's just one of those days, but it just reminded me, this is 2 years in a row where K-State, after a West Virginia game, feel bad about what happened and really felt it was in their own area of getting it done. Bill Snyder said after this game that K-State should have won the game and controlled whether they won or not. And I really felt that was true last year when they had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, pretty well said. K-State falling on Saturday at home in the Fort Riley Day game, 28-23. I will say this. I think you have to give West Virginia some credit defensively from the standpoint of they've been playing a little bit banged up. And with their coordinator, Tony Gibson, who does such a good job, I think there were times, and even Coach Snyder talked about this after the game, where Skylar Thompson did some good things, no question. But he also probably was confused at times, and what redshirt freshman making his first start wouldn't be looking at that 3-3-5. It was a tough day for him.
It's a very tough defense to play. It's as complicated as there is in the Big 12. The players execute it very well. And we can't forget why the weather wasn't perfect. Okay, it's easy for Coach Snyder and us in the booth to say, oh, the weather had no effect on the game. But I'm telling you, if you're the starting quarterback for the first time ever, the pressure that comes with that is unbelievable, knowing you're the guy. There's one person walking around campus that's a starting quarterback. And I remember when I, midway through the year, got a chance to get my first start, it wasn't a celebration. There weren't backflips. Like, whoa, I made it. I'm the starting quarterback. It's like, oh, boy. I'm the only person on campus responsible for getting this work done. So I can understand the pressure on Skylar Thompson. Unbelievable at this point in the season, K-State needing a win, playing a ranked team like West Virginia. But why it doesn't help that you wake up on Saturday morning, instead of the sun shining and 65 degrees, getting ready to go out and play a game before the home fans, you got this drizzle. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that come into play. It wears on you. He may have not said that any throw was affected, like, hey, my hands didn't slip on any football or anything like that. But it wears on you when it's raining and the weather is damp and the fans aren't into it as much. And it's a tough situation. That's not an excuse. It's just a reality. Being a first-time starter, you're going to make some mistakes. And K-State definitely did that. But there's enough to go around for the whole team. I think a debate subject, for instance, why it is right before the half, a lot of talk was, why did K-State end up turning the football over when they got the ball back? Why didn't they just sit on the ball and go into halftime down by one? Well, they're thinking about a field goal. But here's my debate subject for you, Wyatt, and the fans can really, I think, take either side. Was it worse turning the ball over or giving up a touchdown on the one play that West Virginia had from the 30-yard line? I mean, both, you know, if the interception doesn't occur, people might say, well, then the throw wouldn't have happened. But even after the interception, what are the odds that a team's going to take 10 seconds to get the playoff? I mean, he threw the ball when the time had run out. He wasted 10 seconds running around, and then he heaved the ball into the air and still ended up with a touchdown. So was it worse not knocking it down and taking a one-point deficit into the half, or was it worse turning it over? Neither of those are very good. Neither of them are very likely, and they both happened within, what, 20 seconds right before the half. So a big blow right there. Missed opportunities all over the board, but Wyatt, it's fun to sometimes go back and remember what we said or listen to the audio, because it's real time with all the emotions that you have at that point and the lack of knowledge about the future. But I know you remember when K-State was ahead 6-0 and West Virginia was about ready to snap the ball late in the first quarter. I said the next score might be the big one, because K-State should be up by a lot more than 6-0 right now. And I don't know, how long was it? A minute, 30 seconds of real time, and they are running down the field for a 75-yard touchdown. So I could feel it, Wyatt. At that point in the game, I knew K-State needed to be ahead by more than 6-0. And when it's all said and done, that's really the focus of where the game is. When everything was going K-State's way, at home, West Virginia was reeling. K-State ended up with only 6 points, not even a 7-point lead. And they should have been up 13, 14, 17 and nothing at that point. And I think that might have been enough to keep West Virginia away, because K-State got off to a quick start, but just didn't take advantage of it.
Okay, let me put you on the spot here a little bit. I was thinking about this on Sunday and just kind of how the game played out. Looking ahead, K-State still hopes to continue that bull streak and that. But one other thought that I had was DJ Reed and how special what he is doing this year and how special it really is, I guess maybe is the better way to say it. Do we think about this a minute? Do we have to go all the way back to a Terrence Newman or somebody like that, that has been, I'll even say, as dominant in special teams and as quality defensively as DJ has been this year? I'm just curious of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Chris Canty is another name that you might throw out when you go back into history. But you know, Terrence Newman was such a great cornerback, and then once in a while he'd drop back, and I think he took one back against Missouri one time. And
that's right.
It didn't seem like he was a feature punt returner that was out there like David Allen or Darren Sproles, someone like that, but he still had the explosiveness. DJ Reed is more of a natural returner. Just he is lethal every time he gets out there. But his defensive play is also picked up. But to your point, he deserves any accolades that you want to give him. He's playing very good at the cornerback position. Going into the year, we expected a lot, and he's delivered with that. And then on special teams, I'm not sure we knew that he was this good. Remember, he didn't come onto the scene until a kickoff return against Baylor last year.
Right.
Two-thirds of the way through the season was his first return, and he did a nice job. But now when you look at him, he is turning lemons into lemonade. It's not always perfectly blocked, and he somehow gets scooting down the field. Those punt returns are pretty amazing. And even the interception return after what was one of the most amazing catches I've ever seen on that slant pass bouncing off the player from West Virginia and coming toward his head, and he somehow rocked back and caught it while running forward. I don't know how that all happened. It stuck right in his hands, and he was returning it up the right sideline. And he broke a lot of tackles and made it hard for West Virginia to make the tackle. Now, the only thing, if you want to be critical, and Coach Snyder, this is what he is good at, is saying, but he did fumble two times. You know, so he needs to.
True. That's fair.
Ball protection is something that he needs to work on because he does have the ball in his hand. But Whitey's been extraordinary.
He has.
It's too bad that K-State couldn't reward his efforts with a win, because it would have gone down as one of the all-time games. To strip a ball that was so innocent early, already caught a pass, wasn't running down the field. He stripped it and recovered his own fumble right there. And then an interception return soon after that. And then the punt returns he had with nothing really set up, and West Virginia having no desire to punt the ball to him, and he still was able to do that. It would have been one of the games we talked about forever. But when you were thinking about this on Sunday, you were also thinking about the gray days of not winning that ball game. So it gets overstated or overwhelmed a little bit by the fact that K-State lost the game. But, man, DJ Reed was awesome, and he has been very good. And his ability is, you know, David Allen-like on his returns. He really has a way of getting out of trouble and creating havoc.
Well, you're listening to the Wildcat Podcast, and let's talk now about this week's opponent, Oklahoma State. And we'll again remind you that the ball game will kick in Stillwater on Saturday at 2:30, which means we're on the air at 12:30 on the K-State Sports Network from Learfield. And it's been said 1,000 times over, but Oklahoma State offensively is just putting up insanely good numbers right now. And the one that I can't get by is the 30-8 record as a starter for Mason Rudolph. I know you loved him coming into the year. He hasn't disappointed. He's been unbelievable.
No, I think he's the best NFL prospect, not to discount how good he is in college, Wyatt. I don't mean to do that, but I think he's even better equipped for the pros. He doesn't have to run. A lot of these quarterbacks bring the running capabilities into play, and that's fine. But in the NFL, you only get to pick your spots once in a while. You can't run the ball down after down, and Mason Rudolph feels comfortable with that. His accuracy is incredible. His ability to throw the ball downfield accurately is good. But here's the thing about that. I want to emphasize why. He doesn't say, I'm dropping back, and I'm going to throw the deep ball. That's what some coaches tell a player. Okay, hey, we're going to throw the deep ball here. Get your five-step drop and try to go one-on-one down the right side of James Washington. Okay, fine. Now, can you be accurate making that throw, White? That's a good question. But you know what I'm talking about, accuracy? He doesn't know he's going to throw the deep ball when he's dropping back. And that is a whole nother level. Hopefully that makes sense to you, White.
Sure.
There's a whole nother level when you drop back and you're just as likely to throw a five-yard out as any other pass. And suddenly you just read, oh, it's open, deep, and he flicks his wrist. The eyesight to the brain to the quick release, Wyatt, creates an inaccuracy that's unbelievable. It's totally different than if I were out knowing I was going to throw the deep ball. I'm going to throw a ball much more accurate than when I'm just dropping back looking with the rush coming toward me, reading the safeties and the linebackers and go, oh, the deep ball is open. Well, he does that, and he does it as well as most NFL guys do. Because you take a guy like Alex Smith, he's throwing the ball better downfield, deep,
right,
and it's helping the Chiefs. But most of his deep throws, White, he knows he's going there. He predetermines, maybe before the ball snapped. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do, but he knows this one's going to Tyreek Hill deep, and he goes back and gears his body up in every way. But what gets me when you look at the OSU quarterback and Mason Rudolph, you see him drop back, and you realize he is just reading the coverage, and then all of a sudden – he lets the ball fly, and 45 yards later, it's on the fingertips of his wide receiver. It's pretty amazing. You break down in the secondary, and he will take advantage of you. And he doesn't need the coach to call the play. It is there on every play. Because every play, Wyatt, has guys 30-plus yards downfield. Every passing play spreads the field that way. So he is looking at all times He doesn't need the call. It's there. And that's scary. And that's why as a opponent of Oklahoma State, you look up and go, wow, those guys are scoring near 50 points a game like it's no big deal. And they're adding the running game with Hill. They've got it all going on for them. And their offensive line's getting better right now. But it starts with Mason Rudolph in an extremely deep and versatile receiving core. They've got guys who can do just about everything, and they complement each other well. And you're looking at the best 7-on-7 team in the country. Wyatt, best throwing and receiving team. Take out the other aspects of the football game. They're the best in the country at doing what they do.
Yeah, it's really interesting sitting there listening to you, and I'm looking at Kansas State's schedule, and this will be, dating back to Oklahoma, 5 games for Kansas State where you face Baker Mayfield. Say what you want about Carter Stanley, but he played well against the Cats. And then you get the quarterback at Texas Tech, who's been really good, Nick Szymanek. Last Saturday, of course, West Virginia's quarterback, Will Grier, and now this kid. And people wonder why the Big 12 is maybe dominated by offense. There's your reason why. It's quarterbacks and good ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we go back to the West Virginia game and you make a great point because Will Grier really was the difference. There were a lot of things. K-State could have won the game. But, I mean, he made enough plays that it cost K-State. He would not be tackled. And he scrambled and threw accurately. And then the touchdown right before the half is Exhibit A. But Will Grier has done a fantastic job. Szymanek, unbelievable numbers all year long. Baker Mayfield's on his way to winning the Heisman Trophy. And he has been unstoppable. Now, individual player, Baker Mayfield's been the best college player because he went to OSU and had a one-on-one battle with Mason Rudolph and did the better job on the road. So I'm not saying that Mason Rudolph is the Big 12 first-team quarterback because that's already taken by Baker Mayfield. But you add in the receivers. Oklahoma's receivers are young. They'll use their fullback, running backs, tight ends. They'll get it done a lot of ways. But I give more credit to Baker Mayfield with Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley and the scheme. But Oklahoma State, it is the full complement. Receivers, quarterback, they've got it going on. They have a receiving core. You know, you look at James Washington, and I went back, Wyatt, and getting ready for this game. And, oh, yeah, he had over 100 yards receiving 2 years ago against K-State. Oh, yeah, he had 100 yards receiving last year against K-State. And now he's getting ready to play K-State. You know, you don't see that often where you're getting ready to play against a team and each of the last 2 years they've had big games against you. The odds just aren't there that people are that good and start that long or stay in school that long if they're that good. But there you go. And James Washington's not the only one. They've got a lot of good receivers. So OSU's offense is really hitting on all cylinders right now.
Well, and you can also make an argument that their running back, Justice Hill, this is just my opinion. We talked about the quarterbacks there. In the last 2 weeks of the season, K-State is going to see Justice Hill of Oklahoma State and then David Montgomery of Iowa State, and those two guys may be the best two backs in the league.
Yeah, the compliment in the running game, you're exactly right. Justin Hill's playing his best football of the year, too. He's been a good player all along. He's a weapon. He can catch the football out of the backfield. But Wyatt, he is playing so well now that he leads the Big 12 in rushing. He's got almost 1,200 yards rushing. And he's got more games left. So, you know, I'm talking about the passing game being lethal. How about Bill Snyder reminding us, I really like balance in the offense. Oh, coach, you're going to see balance in the offense because OSU can throw it for 500 yards and they can run it with one back getting over 100 yards. So it's hard to determine how you're going to stop Oklahoma State. It really is, Wyatt. When you study the tape, you just wonder, What do you do to stop them? Because they rarely have been stopped. But the Texas Longhorns did a good job, and you just got to hope that you play well, you get a turnover or two. Just, you know, K-State got 4 turnovers against West Virginia. Is it that day that maybe the ball bounces your way a little bit? The good news is K-State normally somehow, some way matches up pretty good with Oklahoma State and slows them down slightly. We've seen that year after year that K-State has been in the ballgame with Oklahoma State. So K-State's going to have to try to do that again, but it's probably not going to be by limiting the yardage. It's hard to come up with a case where OSU doesn't move the ball well. The one quirky thing about going into this game, though, Wyatt, this is really quirky. OSU's lost 2 games at home this year.
Yeah.
So they've got a couple of home games left. You realize they're only 2-2 at home? They're talking about winning the national championship just 5 weeks ago, right? Yeah. They legitimately had a chance to be a national championship team in the discussion. And now you look and they're 2-2 at home. So you maybe sometimes stuff like that happens. K-State's
lost 3 games
at home.
You know what stings about that, Stan? You know what stings about that if you're a Cowboy fan? They're 6-0 on the road.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They've done good work on the road, and that was a nice win over Iowa State last week. It was not easy for them. So there have been times where the offense has been slowed down enough, but the real question is will K-State's offense be able to attack the Oklahoma State defense? And historically, the Cats have been able to do it and cause them some problems, make some plays in the special teams as well, and have the game be close. Now, they've lost the last two, but they were on a sequence where K-State would win every time at home. Do you realize Bill Snyder's 8-2 at home against Oklahoma State? So last year's win by the Cowboys in a very close game that K-State led multiple times by two scores and still couldn't quite get it done. That was a real surprise in this series. OSU seems to always find a way to win right at the end against K-State. It happened in 2015. K-State had a real chance to win. It happened in 2011. I mean, the history of this series has been close games, home team winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been really pretty amazing. And I think about 2 years ago when K-State was there, Cody Cook was playing quarterback, and he was a wide receiver. But more on that a little bit later, I guess. We remind you, the official Wildcat podcast is presented by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices. They always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. And by the K-State Superstore, customize your game day experience by shopping online at kstatesuperstore.com. K-State Superstore, official retailers of K-State Athletics. And from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. That's thetirestore.com. Again, our pregame coverage Saturday will begin at 12:30. Just a couple of notes about men's basketball, I guess, to close today. The Wildcats off to, as we speak here, a 2-0 start to the year. I guess I would just ask you your impressions of this ball club for Bruce Weber. We saw in the opening game one big guy play well. In game two, we saw another big guy play well. But that's okay, isn't it? I mean, that's what Bruce Weber wants out of those four guys, some consistent play. It doesn't have to be the same guy necessarily every night.
That's right. Someone's just needing to step up. And the good news is, like you said, Wyatt, there hasn't been either of the first two games where K-State was void with the big guys. McCall Maween was very good in the first game against American, almost had a double-double. Mauro Sala was a much bigger factor in the second game against UMKC because Maween got into foul trouble so quickly. Mm-hmm. He was pretty much a non-factor. So those two guys are somewhat the veterans and the ones that really need to be the tag team. But I like the potential of Levi Stockard and Nigel Shad, I should say. Both those guys really seem to have a coordination about them. They're very young, but they don't look frail. They don't look overwhelmed. They play with super fundamentals. So I'm excited about the younger guys, but I'm counting more on Sala and Maween to be the guys for K-State. And we're going to see if they're going to be able to continue to play. They got to watch their foul trouble a little bit. I thought they were a little lax in their game against UMKC. Obviously, Maween got two fouls quickly, but then Sala followed up with some fouls that he just can't take. You got to be very careful and be able to keep yourself available. Otherwise, I think K-State, when they are locked in and play their best basketball, and that means the kind of defense that really slows people down, and then when K-State goes on the offensive end and cuts down on the turnovers and plays team basketball, I think they can be pretty good. But there's a quick conversion when they don't play that team basketball and don't value the basketball on the offensive end, that they can quickly fall away from being a good team to one that's susceptible to losing a game against good teams. And that's the thing that I will be watching for. I thought in the first game against American, they really brought it, played well as a team. And against UMKC, I thought they were loose with the basketball. And You'll find times that Kamau Stokes will make passes that aren't there, you know, make a one-handed pass that's not needed. Barry Brown rarely does it, but once in a while he'll force something and try to do too much. Xavier Sneed obviously is a player who's improved tremendously over the year one when he was with K-State, but he's not a perfect player right now either. So I just thought when the way they played against American, I thought was very encouraging. There was an intensity. They were locked in. They were on their defensive assignments. They were running a Princeton offense, American does, And K-State never let them get into the Princeton cuts. They made it look like they weren't running the Princeton offense. Only one backdoor pass occurred all game because K-State was defending it so well that they took them out of their game. And then on the offensive end, I was very impressed with how the guys worked. Dean Wade showing more strength and determination on the inside. I think that is very good. Xavier Sneed is showing you some things. And then, you know, coming off the bench, Cartier Jara is able to shoot the ball well and add some minutes. So again, when you see the better side of the Cats with their top six or seven players, I think they're going to be very dangerous and very good, by the way. But I saw instances in the preseason games, in the exhibitions, and I saw a little bit of it when they played UMKC, that when they're not completely locked in and playing to their best of their ability, they can quickly slide down to just being an average basketball team. And this conference is too competitive, Wyatt, and the non-conference is so valuable. We're getting ready for a period of time here where when you play the Arizona States and the Xaviers of the world, you're going to look back when the NCAA tournament committee is doing their evaluation, and those are the games that are going to stick out. Did you get over the hump? Did you go to Vegas and win a couple of games? Did you go 0-2? Were you 1-1? All those games are very valuable, and I just think that K-State, as a locked-in team, they win those games. If they're not, they put themselves at risk.
We are going to test you next week. Monday basketball, fly Tuesday to Vegas, play there Thanksgiving Day and probably Friday night, fly back late Friday night, football against Iowa State Saturday. You up for it? Sounds like a fun week to me.
Yeah, they actually are going to let us do that, Wyatt? That sounds like the perfect road trip.
I mean, with you,
But the problem is people don't understand that we do a little preparation. And so when you start, that's the funny thing. I go, wow, you got to take in a lot of games. I'm with you. Once I walk into the arena or the stadium, we're the luckiest guys in the world. But what's going to be funny is while we're flying on that plane out there and while we're in Vegas, supposedly doing whatever people do to have fun and make money, or I guess everyone who goes to Vegas makes money, we're going to be sitting there in the hotel cranking out going, okay, here's the Iowa State second team running back. And here, let me watch some tape of their defense. And it takes a little bit of the excitement out when you say, well, it doesn't matter if I'm at home or in Las Vegas, I'm still going to be putting all these hours ready for the game on Saturday. Not to mention the two games that we have Thursday and Friday. So this is an intense schedule. If you go back, Wyatt, to the Friday night basketball opener, okay? Yeah. Go back a week or so to the Friday night basketball opener and then advance to the Saturday after Thanksgiving. What do you got, about 15 days or so there? We're going to have 9 games of either football or basketball. So, again, it's a lot of fun. But I'm telling you, it's also a lot of preparation to get ready. Hopefully the fans enjoy the broadcasts.
You bet. We're looking so forward to it. Well, speaking of that, we will have the football broadcast on Saturday starting at 12:30. Don't miss it. Yeah, you can watch the TV, but turn that sound down and listen to Stan and I. We'll have all the K-State information that you'll need. I can promise you that. Well, let's wrap it up by saying our podcast every week is brought to you by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. For my partner, Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks for listening, and go Cats.
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.